There was a generation, my parents' generation, my mom, my dad, they knew where they were at that moment. That is the moment. That is a moment that has obsessed people. What happened that day? Donald Trump's going to release classified documents about that as soon as possible. People are wondering, what will it reveal? There are theories. Was John F. Kennedy assassinated by Lee Harvey Oswald? Was he a lone gunman, as the Warren Commission concluded? Were there more people involved? The mob, the Cubans, the CIA. It's very rare to talk to someone who was actually there. Now, there are many people who have written about this, and we've spoken to someone. We spoke to Gerald Posner yesterday. He's an expert on this. He's written about this. He says it's a lone gunman, but the man we're going to speak to right now was there, the Secret Service agent. He was with the Kennedys. He's the man you see in the Zapruder film, that famous film. He runs onto the trunk of the car and holds Jackie Kennedy in that moment, right beside John F. Kennedy. And it is an honor to have Clint Hill join us. He is the man stepping out of history right onto this program. Mr. Hill, thank you for joining us today.
Glad to be here. Nice to talk with you.
Well, that moment, I'm sure, has shaped your life, sir. Before we get to what people want to know, because we're all talking about it again, here we are again, back to that moment. Can you tell us, can you take us back to that moment on November 22nd, and can we see it through your eyes?
Well, sure. I was up close and personal as a witness to what happened that day. The presidential party, and I was in the Secret Service at the time, my primary responsibility was Mrs. Jacqueline Kennedy. And we had arrived in Dallas the morning of November 22nd, 1963, from Fort Worth, Texas. And there's going to be a long motorcade to get the president to a speech site called the Trademark in Dallas, where he was going to make a speech at about 12:30 in the afternoon. We landed at Love Field, and there was quite a large crowd there, and we began the motorcade from Love Field in Dallas. We drove through the city. Now, the purpose of the trip was maximum exposure for President and Mrs. Kennedy, Governor Mrs. Connally, and Vice President Mrs. Johnson. This was in 1963, and they were beginning, actually, to campaign for the 1964 election. And they wanted to have as many people in Texas, Dallas specifically, see them. We had been in San Antonio and Houston and Fort Worth the day before, but this was the big motorcade in Dallas. We were using an open car. It was a Secret Service special car that we had flown there. It was fabricated specifically for events like this. And President and Mrs. Kennedy were seated in the very rear seat of the car. President Kennedy on the right-hand rear seat, Mrs. Kennedy left rear. Mrs. Connally immediately in front of Mrs. Kennedy, and Governor Connally immediately in front of President Kennedy. And there was an agent from the Secret Service that was driving, and a supervisor in the right front seat of the car. Now, immediately behind that car was another open car that contained Secret Service agents and high staff members of President Kennedy's. There were actually 8 Secret Service agents in that car and 2 staff members. I was one of the agents. I was on the left-hand side of the car, outside on a running board, in the forward position, putting me closest to Mrs. Kennedy during this motorcade. As we went through the city of Dallas, the crowds grew larger and larger until we got down to Main Street. They were so large, it was difficult to get through there, even with the assistance of police and motorcycles. And then we got toward the end of Main, and we turned right on a street called Houston Street, and that led us over to a street called Elm, and we had to turn left off of Houston on Elm. And that put us right in front of a building that was called the Texas School Book Depository. And we had to go this way in order to get to the location of the speech site called the Trademark. And as we traveled down Elm Street past this building, we had gone about 150 feet from the intersection with Houston. And I was scanning the area to the left. It was a grassy area. It was called Dealey Plaza. And then there was a immediately in front of us there was a railroad track that ran over the top of the highway. It was a pretty wide railroad track. A lot of people there, but there were police up there as well. And I was scanning it, and all of a sudden I hear an explosive noise over my right shoulder. I didn't recognize it as a gunshot initially, but I started to turn toward that noise, and in doing so, my eyes crossed the back of the presidential vehicle, and I saw the president react.
So let me interrupt you here, Mr. Hill. I'm talking to Clint Hill. He's the former Secret Service agent riding in the car behind the Kennedys on that fateful November 22nd, 1963. Let me just pause you because this moment is so critical. The first gunshot, tell me what, when that explosive noise happened, this is what you're trained to do, Clint Hill. What was your, take me to that second. Suddenly something's changed, you hear the noise. What was your gut reaction? What happened in that first second?
Immediately I started to turn toward the noise to determine what it was, because I wasn't sure it was a gunshot. I didn't realize it was a gunshot until I saw the reaction of the president. He grabbed at his throat, and he started to move to his left. Now, President Kennedy had a bad back, so he was wearing a back brace, which prevented him from really falling forward. He was seated in the right rear of the car, so he couldn't go to his right. That was the interior end of the seat, so he had to go left. And he fell a little bit to his left after grabbing his throat. Now, having witnessed and saw that, I then jumped from my position on the follow-up car, which was immediately behind the president's car, and started running to the president's car with the intent of getting up on top of the back of it there to form a shield to protect both President and Mrs. Kennedy.
You were prepared to die at that point to take a bullet. That's your job, and you had no hesitation. If you were going to get shot, Clint Hill, to save the president and Mrs. Kennedy, that didn't even, did you have any moment of doubt, or did you just take off on instinct?
I took off on instinct. The thought of being shot, that didn't even enter my mind. My whole purpose was to get onto the back of that car to provide cover for the president and Mrs. Kennedy and for the other occupants of the car to give the driver a chance to get us out of there.
And what did you see when you got on that car? Because we've all watched this video, or the movie, the Zapruder film. We see you running. What happened then?
Well, just as I approached the president's car, I had just got there, and another shot rang out that hit the president in the head. By this time, he had moved a little farther to his left, and his head was kind of facing down a little bit. So that third shot hit him in the rear of the head, but it exited just above the right ear, and it just caused an eruption of material. There was blood and bone fragments and brain matter that came out of the wound all over myself, all over Mrs. Kennedy, all over the back of the car.
So you saw that. You saw that blood.
I not only saw it, I felt it.
What do you mean you felt it?
Well, I was covered with material. I had blood all over me. I had brain tissue all over me.
You had President Kennedy's brains on you.
Absolutely, yes. And then I got up in the car, and Mrs. Kennedy at that time came up on the rear of the car, up on the trunk. Now, she didn't realize I was there. The reason that she came up on the trunk was she was trying to grab some of that material that came out of the president's head. And she did get a hold of some of it in her hand.
Oh.
Now, I, at that point, put her back in the back seat. And when I did that, the president's body fell farther to its left. His head ended up in her lap. The right side of his face was up. I could see that his eyes were fixed. I could see in the hole of the skull that there was no brain matter left in that area whatsoever.
So I turned
and gave a thumbs down to the agents behind me in the other car. There's an indication how serious this was, and then I screamed at the driver to get us to a hospital.
Clint Hill is the former Secret Service agent, and in the Zapruder film, the most famous film in the world, Clint Hill jumps off the open car behind the Kennedy car, the presidential car, and runs up and climbs on the trunk. At that very moment, Jackie Kennedy it appears as if she's crawling out of the car. And they, as Clinton Hill is going up, it looks like Jackie Kennedy is coming towards him. What happened in that moment? We're going to go there. The only surviving member of that car is Clinton Hill. He's the Secret Service agent. He's 85 now. And it's a great honor to have you back on the program, sir, as people are once again wondering what happened that day as Donald Trump is about to release classified documents. But let's go back to that moment. The shots ring out, as you've been telling us. You jump on the back. Let's go back to, because that moment, I'm looking at a picture of it right now, Clinton Hill, where you're climbing up the back and the president's wife, Ms. Kennedy, is climbing. It appears that she's climbing out. Can you describe that moment and take us through then what happened?
Well, this all happened immediately after the president was hit in the head by the fatal shot. And at that point, I had just reached the car. All that blood and brain matter and bone fragments came out of the wound over all of us. And as I got up on the back of the car, Mrs. Kennedy came up from the seat onto the trunk. Now, what she was doing was trying to grab some of the material that came out of the president's head. She wasn't trying to get out of the car. She did get a hold of some of that material within one of her hands. At that point, I grabbed her a little bit and put her in the back seat. And when that happened, the president's body fell farther to its left with his head ending up in her lap. Now, that was a really a gory scene because I was up above them. I looked down. His face, right side of his face was up so I could see that his eyes were fixed. And in the hole in the head and the skull, I could see there wasn't any brain matter there.
You knew the president was dead.
The president, in my opinion, it was a fatal wound immediately, and that he was dead, and that I then turned and gave thumbs down to the other agents. I screamed at the driver to get us to a hospital, and we didn't know where the nearest hospital was because we were not familiar with Dallas. So the chief of police got in front of us, and he led us to Parkland Hospital on just a few miles away.
Parkland Hospital, of course, is where that presidential limousine ended up going. Did you say anything to Mrs. Kennedy at that moment when you saw her and she was literally grabbing her husband's brain, which is, as you say, a gory scene, and we've all watched it, but from your point of view, obviously it's much more vivid. You're seeing the details of it. It's on you, as you say. Did you tell her anything? Did you say anything to the president?
I didn't say anything to anyone. She did. She made some remarks. She said, I have his brains in my hand. And then she said, I love you, Jack. It seems to me she made one other really brief comment. What the heck was it? Can't think of it right now, but it was very, very brief. It was something to the effect they shot his head off. It was a horrible situation. She was really, by this time, in a state of shock. Because when he took the fatal shot to his head, at that point, his head and body had gone so far to the left, toward Mrs. Kennedy, who was seating in the left rear, that the two of their heads were touching at the time that the shot hit him in the back of his head. That meant they were within 3 to 4 inches of Mrs. Kennedy's head. That's how close it was to her.
And
you can imagine the impact that had on her, and it was horrible.
How often, it's many years ago, it's 1963, Clinton Hill, how often do you relive these moments? I mean, we're talking about them because of the classified documents. But for you, how often do those moments, when you are in the car, you're literally protecting Jackie Kennedy, the president's head is almost in her lap and on you, you know this has happened. How often do these moments in the film that's running through your head now, the memory film, how often do you relive that?
Well, it's gotten less since this is almost 54 years now. But initially, after that happened, it was continuous. I mean, I had a very difficult time sleeping. And I thought about it whenever I wasn't really active. The best thing that happened to me immediately was I was kept so busy because most of the other agents had gone to be with President Johnson. And they had me stay with Mrs. Kennedy, and my assistant stayed with me with Mrs. Kennedy. And I had three other agents who were working with the children. So we were nonstop. I mean, it was almost a 24-hour day a job for a number of days.
So, Clint Hill, do you now, people are asking, you know, who did it? Could it have been a lone gunman? Was there a magic bullet? You know the questions. Do you have any doubt in your mind? I mean, do you think there was another shooter? Do you think there was someone on the grassy knoll? Do you think it was Lee Harvey Oswald able to get three shots off from the Dallas Book Depository?
There were only three shots that were fired. And one of the things you have to remember about the fact that there were three shots fired, the clock doesn't start until that first shot is fired. So when they say he fired three shots in 6 seconds or whatever they say, he actually fired a shot, and then the other two shots were fired within that six-second span. Now, it's no question in my mind, based on all the information that's been out thus far, and I'm sure even that will come out, that it can be said that Lee Harvey Oswald acted alone. He was the lone shooter. All the shots, and there were only three, came from the sixth-floor window of the Texas School Book Depository. The rifle that he used was found up there. He had tried to hide it a little bit behind some boxes as he exited the building. They found the spent cartridges on the floor of the what we call the sniper's nest in the sixth-floor window. He had built a little nest there with boxes so that people couldn't see him, see what he was doing. And it also prevented pretty much any vision of seeing him from the outside because of the way these boxes reflected light and everything.
But he acted, in your view, he acted alone.
Completely alone. It was one of those situations where he had not come to our attention at all. We didn't even know who he was.
So, Clint Hill, let me ask you this. When these documents come out, would you be good enough to come back on? I'd love to talk to you again to get your view of that. Would you come on again and get your reaction to these documents, sir?
I'd be glad to.
Clint Hill, the Secret Serviceman who was in that moment. Sir, it's an honor to speak with you. I look forward to our next conversation.
I'd be looking forward to talking with you.
That is Clint Hill.